Good morning.
Before I get into the lesson this morning, I want to take time to read something from a good friend of mine, a good friend of you, John. I know you guys haven't seen John in a while, but he kind of wanted to give an update. He doesn't like for people to necessarily share what he's going through, but we've been encouraged. So he wrote this, and I wanted to share it with you so you guys can have a more recent update of what John's been going through. It says, "Congregation, I don't typically like sharing my issues, even with those closest to me. In my mind, it just sounds like I'm complaining. And I don't want to burden others with my complaining. But I feel like it's time that I paint a bigger picture for everyone. Since the cancer, my health has been so up and down, it seems as if there's been more down than up. I deal with a great deal of nausea very frequently, extreme acid reflux issues, extreme stomach cramps, along with both frequent constipation as well as diarrhea. I miss a lot of work because of these issues, same reason I miss church frequently. Because of my extreme acid issues since the cancer, it has caused my teeth to just rot and become very painful and just plain disgusting. This led me to having to have all of my teeth removed, though due to what insurance covers, I could only get the lower half done this year, and then next year I can do the others. So I had this procedure done recently with me out of commission for a while, which put me out of commission for a while. On top of that, several weeks back, on Saturday morning, I woke up and my right hand was just limp. I just did not want to work. And I'm right-handed and have never been strong and coordinated with my left hand. So I'm getting better as if it was my main hand as well. And so showing improvements, I'm getting better with manipulating it to work for me more. I went to the doctor and found that I have radial nerve palsy. He explained it's a nerve in your arm that runs down to your fingers and can be slipped on just wrong and break it. He said the good news is it'll probably heal in time, but that it does take a while depending on how high up the arm nerve snaps. I then scheduled for and have since gone to the doctor to have a radial nerve study. The doctor determined that within probably 5 or so weeks I should see improvements.
So he goes on with that, and he says that recently had his 6-month post-cancer CT scans, which did come back with good results. Hold on a second. Just let me have a second. When I read stuff like this, I get a little
lightheaded, so just give me a second. Plus, it's hard to read about John. And I don't want to pass out before I preach, so I'm learning to be honest with my situation and stupid. So I'm going to sit down for a second and read it, because I don't like talking about injuries. So he said he's going to have a GI operation on May 1st,
which will hopefully
help him
and he means well, as everyone does, when they say that. But it just really doesn't. It always just seems to get worse. So John's been going through a lot, and that's why you haven't seen him. And he tries. I know his goal was to get here this morning, but he couldn't make it. So just keep John in your prayers. He wants to be here. He loves you all. And he doesn't like sharing. Matter of fact, he was texting me yesterday. He said, "When are you reading that? Because I might try to slip out the, well, we don't have windows, so I guess the back door." So that's what John's going through. Also, keep Heather in your prayers as she's going through some things too. If you don't mind, we're going to pray and then we'll get into the lesson. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for family. And this room is filled with family, Father. And when one of ours is going through something, we want to rejoice with them. We want to celebrate with them. But when they're going through rough times, we want to be there for them. Not just to mention them in prayer requests, but to wrap our arms around them, to encourage them. And that's what you've done so great with this family here at Echo Hills, is built a foundation of family that supports each other and loves one another. And it gives us strength as individuals to know that we can share what's on our hearts and our minds, our struggles, so that we can have a support around us. So be with John, be with his nerves and his arm, be with his upcoming doctor's procedure about his stomach and just his teeth pain and all that he's going through. Just help him to realize that there is hope, and when things are bad, to turn to you, because only you can give the hope that we can't give here as humans. Just be with the doctors that continue to find out what the issues are, and hopefully, Father, he'll find peace and comfort and less pain, Father. Also be with Heather. She's been going through some situations lately, and just continue to bless her. Father, we are so thankful for your avenue of prayer. So often we find it as just a task to do on our checklist, but when we truly turn over our thoughts to you, you listen, and you answer those prayers in your time and in your will. So we turn over these situations to you. We love you, and we thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so hopefully if technology works, my PowerPoint will work this morning. And I did not coordinate with Kyle, nor did I coordinate with Chef this morning. But how fitting was it that Kyle read the passage? Hold on 1 second, technology is bad. About the resurrection. So the title of this morning's lesson is The Resurrection, What Does It Mean for Me? What does it mean? You know, this is a time today for families to be together. It's a time for that white, scary thing to come and visit that has a basket in his hand full of eggs, the Easter Bunny. It's a time for us to eat a meal. But really, this Sunday is about so much more than that. This week has been a week, if you really have been following along, that people focus on, obviously, the whole week leading up to the resurrection. Wednesday night in class, Dave took us on a journey of the Passover meal. And he talked about all this food, but didn't bring it to our class on Wednesday night. It didn't sound too yummy until you talked about the one thing that had the mix that was really good, the apples and that sounded really good. The other stuff was kind of not so good. But this whole week has been leading up to death, resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so often, as I have grown up, not thinking much about it, but it's a quick time frame. Just Friday, which we call Good Friday, would have been the day that our Lord died on the cross. And then you get into that, and it's really interesting because Dave could do a whole lesson on all that and the timing and all that. It was really interesting, but it leads us to today. The resurrection, what does it mean for me? Come on, technology. Now this thing's not working. We're going to do it old-fashioned. Doesn't show them. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, 1 through 12. Luke chapter 24, 1 through 12. And let's just read what took place. And Kyle read another passage, and this continues on with the same thought. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of man, be crucified, and rise on the third day." And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these weird words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not want to believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. So he went away, amazed at what had happened. So hopefully, this thing is not working. So, and now nothing's working. All right. So if this would work. So what I decided to do, let me take it out of this mode. What I decided to do is we sing so many songs. One of them this morning we sang was He Lives. And this is completely froze. Look at that. Oh, man. There we go. That's why I shouldn't work on these PowerPoints. I spend all my life working on them, and they never work. So we're going to look at some lines from songs. We're not going to sing them because I'm not a singer. Once he died our souls to save. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Then he arose over death he had conquered. And these are songs found in your hymnal. You can see them written down at the bottom. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Life is worth the living because he lives. And I believe that he's the answer for me. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. See, we sing these songs. How often do we know these songs? Some of you probably, as soon as you heard those lyrics, you said, oh, I know the song. And maybe another one, you're like, I don't know that song. But especially the last two, we just sang it. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. What does the resurrection mean to you? That's the question we must ask, because we know about it, and today we're focused on it. But what does that do for you? What does that mean to you? So this lesson this morning is not about what does it mean to the world. What does it mean to you? What does a risen Savior honestly mean? When I was driving to church this morning, I passed a bunch of congregations, and their marquees say what on them all week long? He's arisen. Hallelujah. He arose. I see little things stuck in people's yards for certain churches that says, he is risen. But what does that mean to us? What does that mean to me? Does that simply just be like, great, he arose? See, there's a passage I want you to turn to found in Philippians chapter 3, 7 through 11. We're actually going to focus on the latter part of that, but let's get the context starting in verse 7, going down all the way to verse 11. And this is out of the CSB, so just follow along in whatever translation you have. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and considered them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on my faith. My goal is to know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. And I remember I said to focus on, my goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection. See, if we only serve a God who walked on this earth, if a man named Jesus walked on this earth, and that was simply who we follow, then we could follow so many people in this world. I saw a Facebook thing that came up, and it had a cartoon picture of the tomb in the background, and the stone rolled away. And in front of it was like a little cemetery. It was names of all these famous people that people have followed after. And the point behind that was, is all the people that people follow and say they are true, where today they're in the grave. Where is our Lord and Savior? He is risen. He is alive. And so we want to know Christ, and we got to know the power of his resurrection, because this is what separates him from every other man, because he conquered death. And by doing that, he conquered sin, he conquered Satan, and he gave us the hope that we have. But let's just imagine for an instance that he died on the cross and that was it. Would there be power in him? Probably not. So our goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection. So I want you to think about, what does that mean to you? So we're going to take a little bit of a twist, because I don't like to do things normal. And we're going to actually watch a video. And you're going to be like, what in the world does this have to do with Easter? And what's that to do with it? Remember this as you're watching this. What does the resurrection mean to me? She likes to talk to me, I know. So, let me make sure the sound is going to this thing. What does the resurrection mean to you? Now, that obviously was about Dwayne Wade retiring and about the fact he's had people's lives. But if you're not out living your life for a risen Savior, no. If we're not compelled every morning to get up and live a life for someone who died on the cross, who conquered death, who conquered sin, then what is the power of that? What does it mean to you to serve a risen Savior? Is it just a Sunday morning that you get around, you put on your nice clothes, you go to church, and you say, "He's risen," but tomorrow you go back and live a life that's normal? Or do you try to change people's lives? You see, it's powerful. There's a lot of power in the resurrection. Let me get back to my slideshow. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. This is a verse that I hope you will remember. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, since we reached this conclusion, if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, the one who died for them and was raised." What compels you? What gives you the motivation to be who you are? What motivates you to change someone else's life? I hope this morning that it has brought you back to the cross, to the tomb, the empty tomb, because we serve a risen Savior. Two more quotes from a song and we'll wrap it up. There's a song called "We Believe by the News." It says this in one of the lines: "So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing." Let that sink in. And then, will you truly sing, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen"? I know the message is powerful. It's not my message, but it's a message that our Lord and Savior did for us. Let's go out today and serve a risen Savior. He's in this world. He's alive. Hallelujah. There should be smiles on our face. I'm sorry, I'm about to close up, so at least smile on that fact. But if you can't smile that God sent His Son to die on this earth, to die on the cross, and He arose, if that doesn't make you smile, then I don't know what can light a fire in you. So as you think about that, why don't you stand as together we stand and sing.
Jesus.